This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
A dubious distinction.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Never has a car company lost so much money in one year. This morning, GM said it lost $38.7 billion in 2007. That works out to be more than $100 million a day. GM also said it's offering another round of buyouts to all its hourly people. Under a new contract with the United Auto Workers, the company can replace 16,000 employees with new people making half as much money, $16 an hour instead of about $28. We've talked a lot about how money from foreign governments is pouring into Wall Street banks. These sovereign wealth funds have bought up stakes in names like Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, JPMorgan Chase. The banks certainly need the money after their indiscretions in the mortgage market. But now Washington wants to take a closer look at what's going on here. Jill Barchet reports.
Sovereign wealth funds have invested over $44 billion in U.S. financial and banking concerns since 2006. Karen Shaw Petru is a managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics in Washington, D.C. She says each of these foreign investments is usually just under 10% of a company's total market value. That avoids U.S. government red tape, like having to get regulatory approval or filing investment reports.
They structure them at 9.99999.
Petru says the Treasury Department is considering lowering that threshold to 5%. Another proposal would require foreign governments to invest through U.S. money managers.
It would be like putting your money in the hands of one of the big brokerage firms. You don't have the direct control over whether or not money goes into Bank of America.
The Senate Banking Committee is expected to hear from Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson this week. I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
So far, despite a seemingly endless string of losses, the Dow has been able to stay above 12,000 this year. The Dow gained 57 points yesterday to 12,240. The NASDAQ was up 15. The S&P 500 climbed 7 points. The Asian markets put on about 1% today. European shares are up a fraction so far. Our brothers and sisters in commercial radio are holding their annual conference in Atlanta this week. As usual, topping the agenda, how to make more money from advertising. Ashley Milne-Tite explains.
Commercial radio's audience isn't shrinking. 90% of the population still listens. But Mike Stern of trade publication Radio and Record says advertisers have been lured away by newer mediums like the internet. Still, he says this year's race for the White House might give commercial radio a boost.
It's certainly a great selling point for news talk stations to take out and say, you know, people are listening. There are polls reporting how much awareness and interest there is in this election, and you should advertise on our radio stations. This is your opportunity.
He says come April 1st, advertisers will look back on listener numbers for this quarter and make some decisions. Long term, he says, commercial radio wants to grab back some of the ad dollars now going digital. Many stations already have popular websites and podcasts. Stern says they just need to work on selling those platforms to advertisers. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
It's easy to complain about customer service when you're the customer. But what if you're the service, that person behind the counter? Journalist Alex Frankel spent years writing about business culture, but he wanted to know what it was like to be inside the companies he was covering. So he took a 2-year hiatus and got jobs on the front lines at Starbucks, Gap, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, UPS, and an Apple store. He lived to write a book about it. Of all the places he worked, Alex says his favorite was UPS. Alex, why was that?
I really had no idea as a customer what it was like, you know, in the truck. So once I put on the brown uniform, I felt the transformation of myself as I was joining that company, their culture, becoming part of them. I felt all day that we were doing something worthwhile. We were on the move and had a lot of packages to get out to different households. But in each case, when you rang somebody's doorbell and were met by them, you felt a real connection with the customer.
I found it interesting that you applied for several jobs and you didn't get hired. What happened there?
A lot of the best companies out there do a really good job of screening the people they hire. Computer screening tools are more and more in vogue. So that means as the applicant, you're going to sit down in front of your home computer and answer up to 200 questions in the case of Whole Foods when I applied. Through these questions, which are looking a lot at your personality, the company can determine ahead of time whether you will be a good match. And in my case, they were able to determine that I wasn't going to be a good match. And so I, in a few cases, never even got an interview.
Did it surprise you? I mean, did you think, well, this is going to be easy. I'll get all these jobs.
Well, I went into these online testing and screening tools with the thought that, hey, I can game the system. I can figure out what the right answer is. But they are written by industrial psychologists who know how to test for what they call favorable self-presentation. So if I'm going to answer in a way that I think they want, they know that I'm doing too good a job. I'm too perfect of a candidate.
Is there a story that comes to mind that might exemplify your overall feeling about your experience?
Yeah, Starbucks was a place where I started, and I was not subscribed to the company or the culture at all. But a few weeks into my time at Starbucks, I found myself working on a really busy day when we were understaffed. I never once stopped during that day to think, hey, I don't really work here. I don't have to keep working as hard. All I could think of was meeting the needs of the customer. And it wasn't until I left that afternoon that I thought, geez, I just got completely sucked into this place and was doing everything that they would want me to do.
So you want to do it again? You want to go back out there?
I think I've learned, there were certainly a few places I would have liked to be been hired, like Whole Foods, but I think I've gotten enough data.
All right, Alex Frankel, the author of Punching In. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And you can hear plenty of his other stories in the book, which you can find out more about online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.